The lesson that I've prepared this morning is dealing with being happy in this world and us as Christians having a proper attitude towards ourselves and towards the Bible, towards God, and where we derive our true happiness from. The first question I'd like to ask this morning is, have you ever striven to obtain something in this life only to find it did not fulfill you in the way that you thought it would? So many times we strive for money, or we strive for a bigger, better house, or we strive for promotion at work, or we strive for several different things that are all based on things of this world. And many times in my life, I have decided this is what I'm going to work for. This is my goal. This is what I'm going to work towards. And it being carnal or worldly in nature, I achieve it, and it's not all it was cracked up to be. So many times we make that decision that this is what I'm going after, this is what I'm striving for. We achieve that. That's good, that's great. And more than likely, you've used some of the talents, some of the abilities that God's given you in order to achieve that. What we're going to talk about is why that does not fulfill us and why there are other things in life that we need to be striving for in order to give us true happiness. First, we want to talk about, does God want us to be happy? Does God want you to be happy? Turn to Psalms, the 40th chapter. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 16. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. It talks about being glad in God. Look at chapter 70 in Psalms and verse 4. Chapter 70 and verse 4. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Again in Psalms, chapter 105 and verse 3. Glory in God, his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Let's turn to Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2, verse 18. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Also turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoicing always and praying without ceasing. It's funny that he would talk about rejoicing, but in the very same breath, he would say pray without ceasing. One thing there is being spiritual-minded, going to God constantly in prayer. That's going to help reinforce the good, the happy feelings that we need to have. If we are focused on God, there will be true happiness. Why are so many unhappy? Turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Why are so many people in this world unhappy? Well, this is a good biblical answer to that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are not worth much more than they. And who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well said, well put. I can't say it any better. I can't rephrase it. I can't paraphrase it any better than that. Turn to Philippians the 4th chapter and verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Learning to be content there. A lot of denominations or other groups out there that are non-denominational in nature teach a health and wealth gospel, that if you follow God and that if you keep His commandments, they misunderstand Matthew the 6th chapter, that all these things will be added to you. Well, that's great, that's good that these things will be added to you, but He's talking about the necessities. God knows what we need to get by with. He knows what we need to live in this life. Now, what does Philippians, the 4th chapter, say here? Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Being content with what God's blessed us with. We need to learn to be content with what God has blessed us with. We have taken too much of a world's mindset on and seeing the old phrase, keeping up with the Joneses. Well, they get a nicer car. It's funny. I'm going to use our family as an example. They were talking yesterday we went bowling with them yesterday with Todd and Dorinda and with Jackie and Sean and everyone. And they were talking about, well, they're getting a bigger and newer house now, so we're going to have to do the same thing. Now we have to move too. And I use that in jest. But all too often, that's the truth. We see and we want. We see and we want. We see, wow, that's a nice place. That's really big. It'd be nice to have all that space. We could put more stuff in there. That's what we do, isn't it? We build a bigger house to fill it with more stuff. Stuff we don't need. So remember Philippians, the 4th chapter, and verse 11, the next time we see something that we don't need and we think, wow, you know what, I could really use that. Well, could you really? Is that something that we need to be striving for? Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who keeps the law. Many people are very unhappy because they don't keep the law. They don't live by the commandments of God. There's a reason why God has set these rules in place. Number one is to serve Him, obviously. But number two, a byproduct of that, is that you and I, and everybody we come in contact with, the life that we live, the Christian life we live, only promotes good relationships. That's what it promotes. It does. That's a byproduct of living a godly life. Now, obviously, there's going to be people out there who live contrary to what God says, and sure, we can still have a decent relationship with those individuals, but living this type of life, a life by God's law, is going to promote a healthy, happy relationship with people that are willing to let us have that with them. That's why people are unhappy. A spiritual mind is a happy mind. Turn to Matthew the 5th chapter. Matthew the 5th chapter and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. With that in mind, especially the last verse there, verse 12, we have to keep in mind that this world's passing away. The things that we can achieve, you know what? I can work myself to the bone and go out and maybe someday I can go buy a Ferrari or something. But you know what? The first scratch, the first dent that gets in that car, it almost ruins it. It almost ruins it. That's the way it is with the things in life. We achieve, we get it, and from the time we buy it, no, it's no longer new. It's passing away. This life is passing away. The things that we can achieve in this life will pass away. That's why there are so many people that are unhappy in this world, because the things that they get, the things that they achieve, they're only going to fill a void. That's all they're going to do. So when this thing we achieve is no longer new, it becomes the standard. Now we've set our goal here. We reach that, that becomes the standard. And it's continual. It's continual. True happiness cannot be found in living to obtain things under the sun. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11, chapter 2 and verse 11, "Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. There was no profit under the sun." About a certain rich man, turn to Luke, the 13th chapter. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And when he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And when he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods many years to come. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We can't gain happiness with things under the sun, things found under the sun. Material wealth can be a source of many sorrows. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For when we have bought nothing and brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." There are many new gadgets, many new things out there to desire, many new things to achieve and to gain. But the same thing is true today as it was then, is that they're worldly things. They may be neater, they may be newer, they may make our lives easier. It's amazing how lazy we've become in certain things. Or watching a comedian the other night who was talking about the electric toothbrush. I mean, that brushing your teeth is actually that hard that you have to put a motor on there. I thought it was kind of funny, but it's very true. That we've become a microwave generation, or microwave type of people who want things instantly. And we don't get it instantly, we're upset about it. You know, you used another illustration, pumping your gas at the gas station. You're sitting there. Have you ever been there and pulled up on the thing and it was broken and you got mad? "Oh, I can't believe I've got to hold this." Okay? We want things easy in life. We want better, we want newer things, we want these gadgets, we want. And we don't stop and consider how silly it is to get upset about things like that, to try to achieve things that are just going to pass away, that are going to break. True happiness cannot be found in seeking to be someone we are not. Turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another one, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled the accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who received the 2 talents came and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground, see you have what is yours. But his master answered him and said, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, into the place where there will be reaping, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Running here and there. Turn back to Genesis, the 13th chapter. Happiness cannot be found in running here and there. Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 through 13. So Abram said to Lot, Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted his eyes and saw the valley of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. I read that, just that small little excerpt, because I am fairly certain that most of you know the outcome of that story. Now Lot choosing, seeing a better land, and wanting to achieve greater things, achieve greater wealth, he moves there, and of course we know the end of that story. True happiness cannot be found in anarchy. Turn to Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. And he said, A man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be, and he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for his brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has now been found." That is a lengthy reading, I know. But I read that to get that into our minds, because it's our job as Christians to reach these people out there, these people that don't have true happiness, these people that don't understand what it is to be truly happy in this life. There may be some things, no doubt, that wealth can buy happiness. I understand this because of our physical nature. I'm not going to deny it. We can fill ourselves with all kinds of things, new cars, new homes, exciting vacations, cruises, and far-off trips to different countries. We can have all that fun, but it's only for so long, and then it's gone, and then it's done. We need to let people know that there is a life after this, that once you've spent all your money and you've had all this fun, there's going to be something to pay for at the end of this. And that they don't redeem their time wisely now, while there is still time, that all the fun that you can have in this world is not going to make up for the torment that you'll have in eternity. We know that God is willing to receive anyone in, anyone that is willing to repent and go through the proper steps in order to be a part of his body. And that not only will he allow them to, he will rejoice in it. He will be happy and he will rejoice that another has come into the fold. It's our job to try and accommodate those people, to try and teach those people, to try and share stories like this with them. To be happy, we have to have the right attitude and the right priorities. Turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. We'll read that once again. Matthew chapter 5 and 3 through 12. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What about the prideful life, the way people live in a prideful way today? What does it say here? "Blessed are the poor in spirit." "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." You know what? This life is not all happiness. It's not. There are times when we mourn, and there are times that life can be very sad and very depressing. But when this life is over, we will be comforted. "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Have you ever met an individual that his every action was almost contrary to anything anybody ever wanted? That they were just a coarse person. What does it say here? "The gentle shall inherit the earth." "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." All these things we don't know about God, all these mysteries, all this time, we're here on earth and we're trying to serve God. And we're searching ourselves daily to make sure we're right and to focus on His Word. You know what? There's a time in which we will be rewarded. We'll be in heaven with God and we won't have to worry about this life anymore. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Have you ever met an individual that was coarse and would not show any mercy to anyone? What does it say here? "The merciful shall receive mercy." "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." How about that? Won't it be something to see the Lord? Keep yourselves pure in heart. Don't let the things of this world, the achievements, the monetary gains, don't let those things corrupt your heart. Keep yourself pure in heart, and you shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I would sure like to be called the son of God. Let us all be peacemakers. Try to promote peace. And how do we do that? We talked about it. By living the commandments of God. We will promote that. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I would venture to say that most of us in here at some time in our lives have been persecuted for the beliefs that we have, whether it be other family members, maybe even other so-called Christians, ones that call themselves Christians, have persecuted us for a belief that we held true to, that they didn't believe. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Our reward in heaven will be great, no doubt. It's repeated over and over in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike. That any achievement that you can achieve here, anything you can establish here, will fail in comparison to the reward that waits for us in heaven at the end of this life. We must have peace. In order to be happy, we must have peace with God and others. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. I urge Euodia, and I urge, I'm not even going to try and butcher that, to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared in my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement, also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We must submit to God's pattern. We've talked about living by God's laws, living by His commandments. It will promote peace. It will promote happiness. We need to be content and grateful. We talked about that in Philippians, about being content no matter what our situation, to learn to be content with the blessings that God has given us. Many Christians are unhappy, yet God wants you to be happy. A spiritual-minded person is a happy person. That's my lesson for this morning. I appreciate your attention, and I hope that each one of us will take a step back. We will look at our lives. We'll look at the busy lives we lead.